हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 8, Talks Between Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Page 79. Udriti. The personality of Godhead descends onto earth to protect religiosity, but advises Arjuna to give up all varieties of religion. The explanation to this apparent contradiction, however, is very clear. Complete surrender unto the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead without any reservation is the factual principle of religiosity. All other activities, such as altruism, are not in fact religious. As such, the Personality of Godhead advises Arjuna to give them up. They are all different forms of mundane lusts, gorgeously presented in the dress of religiosity. Because religiosity means acting according to the actual nature of something. So the soul, acting according to its actual nature, is to surrender to Krishna. That's actual religiosity. These other forms of religiosity are there, and that's how, yes, the modes of nature work. You follow them, you get your particular results. But it's not actually the nature of the living entity. So people follow all these things because they think that they'll get more benefit. The world will be a nicer place, everyone will enjoy. So it's all about sense gratification. It's not about how the living entity will solve the problems of material life. So the devotees will engage them in Krishna's service, but they're not doing them because of their religious activities that should be done. They're only engaged in Krishna's service. And so that's the whole point, is they judge everything that they're doing and how it serves Krishna, how it pleases Krishna. That's the element that they want to have. So they're not doing because that's the rule and this and that. They're doing because it does this please Krishna. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let us say it's time for the noon bath. That's the religious function that you're doing. But, you know, there's a program that you have to go to, and if you leave now, then you can get to the program, you know, comfortably, and then do the program. So, therefore, you're giving up the one religious activity for actually the religious activity of the soul. But now, if there is no program and that, then you would be taking a noon bath at that time. But in other words, what's favorable to Krishna, that's always going to be first. Right? So you'll see is that the Vaishnavas, they're following the Vedic culture, but at the same time is it's in how it supports Krishna consciousness. So people who aren't religious like that, they'll take it that, you know, the devotees are, you know, so ritualistic. Those who are ritualistic think the devotees aren't very ritualistic. So like that you get.
Even though it's a principle which is given by Rupa Goswami, except it's federal
religious principle. Well, because you have to see it in the context of what is the service for Krishna, what will get things done for Krishna. And at the same time, you have to see the broader picture. It's, you know, what will please Krishna as a person. So then, like it said in the beginning, then there's a decent amount of knowledge is required. But with time, then it's not about knowledge, it's about the taste. So then you might have someone who's not very mature in understanding. They've taken something that's a lower principle and made it more prominent. You know, and they've done that very nicely and do for Krishna, and they'll get the benefit. At the same time, the other areas that are weak, those need to be adjusted, those need to be improved. You can't just say, oh, it's just service to Krishna, because then we're dealing with false ego. Does that make sense?
It is always a need of discrimination.
Yes, discrimination.
If we stand the association of advanced devotee, automatically it's going to be resolved.
Yes, means if you have good association, then you generally will see what they do and these and that. Plus you have Krishna will give intelligence.
Yes.
That's why it's very important to have that humble and meekness, because then Krishna will reveal. But if you're proud, then it's kind of like, okay, do it yourself. And then it never quite works out. Therefore, a transcendental conviction of feeling oneself to be the eternal servitor of Godhead. And following this conviction means to follow the orders of Sri Krishna as he is advised in the Bhagavad Gita. Whenever there is a feeling that one is the enjoyer of one's own activities, such activities are understood as different forms of mundane lust. Right? There may be pious, there may be impious forms of this lust. But it's against the nature of the living entity. The living entity, it's conditional, we say constitutional qualities that are there. It'll have that righteousness, truthfulness, purity, friendliness, honesty. These other things, they'll be the nature that is there. But then there'll be the qualities that are contradictory to that. You know, injustice, you know, lust, hatred, envy, all these kind of things like that. And then like that, then there's, you know, so many that follow that path. So one, these natural qualities, they're there, but they're there in context of Krishna, not others. So righteousness means that it's done rightly for Krishna. That righteousness means it's done according to what I think should be done in this situation, and that's, you know, we're not talking about some stoner sitting around and going, ooh, righteous. You know, we're not, that's not what we're talking about here. Right? 2.8.256. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, among all worshipable objects, which is the chief? Ramananda Rai replied, the chief worshipable object is the holy name of Radha and Krishna, the Hare Krishna mantra. Right? Because it has to be appreciated, this is the original mantra. It's the original mantra. All other mantras expand from this, because anything that's, you know, with other forms of the Lord, they're expanding from this mantra. Right? So whether they're in the form of the Gayatri, whether they're the form of other, you know, anastup, you know, kind of like glorifications, or whether, you know, so they're all following this. So you have the Gopal mantra, then you have those kind of mantras that expand. So they're all coming from here. This is the original mantra. Srila Prabhupada, according to Srimad Bhagavatam 6.3.22, Etavan eva loke smin pumsam dharmaf paraf smitaha bhakti yogo bhagavati tan nama Grahanadi vihi. In this material world, the living entity's only business is to accept the path of bhakti yoga and chant the holy name of the Lord. There is no other purpose. But because they have so many identities and that, then within that identity they try to find, you know, there's something that, since Krishna is everything, then there's always something that you can connect to Krishna. And in that way, then they can progress and all that. But in actuality, all that it is to serve Krishna and chant his holy name. That's all. That there is no other purpose for the living entity. Because this place is just a place of reformation. It's not the actual place of the living entity. The spiritual world, there's plenty of so much to do there. Right? 28257. And what is the destination of those who desire liberation and those who desire sense gratification? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked. Ramananda Rai replied, those who attempt to merge into the existence of the Supreme Lord will have to accept bodies like those of trees, and those who are overly inclined to sense gratification will attain the bodies of demigods. Right? Because trees, it means trees don't move. They just kind of experience. So that's the whole point, is they give up their senses and their individuality and then just kind of experience. Right? Srila Prabhupada. Those who desire liberation by merging into the existence of God do not desire sense gratification within the material world. On the other hand, they have no information about serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Consequently, they are doomed to stand like trees for many thousands of years. Although trees are living entities, they are non-moving. The liberated soul who merges into the existence of the Lord is no better than the trees. Trees also stand in the Lord's existence because material energy and the Lord's energy are the same. All right, so they're standing in the existence doing nothing. You know, so in their mind, they don't have all these different things. So the consciousness is very low. They're only aware of the the six transformations. The non-moving, they're only aware of the six transformations, that they appeared, they grow, they maintain, they multiply, they degenerate, they die. That's all they're aware of. Like that. Then the moving ones are aware of that and eating, sleeping, mating, defending. But otherwise, for them, they're not very aware. So they are in Krishna's existence, and so you can say they're merged into the existence. They just sit there, you know, and just whatever happens. So that's what they become. So you see, it's not actually a very glorious position, and people in this state have a lot of trouble with certain points of Krishna consciousness. You know, when you push so much about this and how liberation is just absolutely useless, they really bothers them. Because to them it's such an important goal. And so, but with time, by association, by chanting and all that, these things will all adjust themselves. But it's that, just like the person in karma, then they accept that he's a person, this and that, but they still tend to relate everything to sense gratification. So each one has the problem, but at least they're willing to be active, do things, take trouble, like that. Somebody who's too absorbed in liberation wants no trouble, so they want a service that has no trouble to it, but you don't find that in the material world. Everything's trouble, you know. Like that, you know, even though you're in your room, you're in your place, nobody's there, you don't have to interact with everything, everything's perfect, but then somebody's taken your pencil sharpener. It's just like, you know, it's just... Yeah, so... Maybe. Nice breeze, though. Blows all the heat away.
Narada, what you're saying is, for those who aspire for liberation and get liberation, the only thing that's put them back on track is to come in touch with the spiritual energy again. Not necessarily go back to square one with the economy.
No. They just have to come. That's if they're still in this body. If they become a tree, then, you know, then hopefully they'll end up in the, you know, as one of the trees in the devotee's garden or one of the trees in the dham or something like that. Then, you know.
What if they merge?
Yeah, but after they finish merging, they come back as a tree. That's the whole point. After they've merged, they come back as grass. You know? That's if they're still in this body. Yeah, it means they go to that, but then it's dry, so they come back down and then get into this. It's just like I mentioned that one of the big Shankaracharyas, his junior at the time, you know, suddenly disappeared. And after three weeks, you know, it was you weren't sure if it was some kind of scandal or what happened. But when he came back, he suddenly came back, he had started this new philanthropic kind of organization and was going to do all kinds of big, big stuff, and it was a big hoopla. In other words, he just couldn't handle the impersonal thing. He had to get into philanthropy. Like that. But if they've merged, when they come back, their next birth is the, you know, trees and immovable creatures. It can also be, I've also heard they can be stones. You know? So it's just something that doesn't move, doesn't have all the senses. Because that's the thing. They don't engage the senses, they don't use all this, they don't want all that. They don't get it. So I think it was some Prabhupada, I think, someone asked Prabhupada what happens to them. And they were walking, I think it may have been, you know, where somewhere, maybe LA or someplace, you know, in the morning walk. I don't know if other places, but in America they do the cement sidewalks, and they always crack. And in the crack, grass grows. So Prabhupada pointed and he said, grass. So then at some other time, there was this devotee, when he'd walk down the sidewalk, you'd see him kind of like jumping and moving erratically down the... Someone asked, what are you doing? He said, I'm stepping on all the Maya bodies. You know, all the grass that grows up, as soon as you see it, you go over and step on it. Then there's yes. Yeah. Also, from the heavenly planets, the next birth is grain. Yeah, so. Yeah, in other words, it's not a great...
not glorious.
No, not that glorious. Trees also stand in the Lord's existence because material energy and the Lord's energy are the same. Similarly, the Brahman effulgence is also the energy of the Supreme Lord. It is the same whether one remains in the Brahman effulgence or in the material energy, because in neither is there spiritual activity. So it's all Brahman to Krishna. Right? It's just that here, then, we can have that illusion about it, but otherwise it's also Brahman. So then they basically merge in Brahman, they become a tree. Not so great. Somehow or another, no one seems to be telling them this one. I think. Better situated are those who desire sense gratification and promotion to the heavenly planets. Such people want to enjoy themselves like denizens of heaven in the gardens of paradise. They at least retain their individuality in order to enjoy life. But the impersonalists who try to lose their individuality also lose both material and spiritual pleasure. They just kind of lose everything. So it's really unfortunate. Because it's a negative. It's not a positive thing. See, the karma, it's a seeming positive, but it's material. But the jnani, then they're negating that. So it's a negative aspect, still within the material. So the karmis are actually better situated. Now if you get, you know, does that make sense? But so that's why the devotees are so special, because they're properly active, but at the same time as they're detached. So whatever is the strong point of the karmis means their individuality, they're engaging their senses and activity, that remains. And for the jnani, then being detached from the results of their work, and not trying to enjoy the senses, then that is the strong point, right? But because it's all connected to the Lord, therefore the senses are engaged in the Lord's service. Does that make sense? Huh? that's so funny. Just gets it all lined up. Just finally puts it up there, and that moment it just goes. Are they back again, or they're still?
What I was.
They're there.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think.
Okay. Well, welcome back if you are. If you're not, then good luck. Sorry?
We log in and then we see, and then it ends.
Okay. Because it's raining, so sometimes when it rained, the wind was blowing in the rain, so they just turn off the electricity. Because they're thinking, you know, a line will blow down or something. You have to make a distinction between a storm wind and a pleasant breeze, you know. But they have nothing else to do, right? You know? drink tea and turn the switch, you know. That's all they do. So. The last destination of the Buddhist philosophers is to become just like a stone, which is immovable and has neither material nor spiritual activity. Okay, so it's worse. So the impersonalists are better. They become a tree, while the Buddhists become a stone. Oh, maybe that's why, like in Tibet, so many stones, right?
That's probably the origin of the Japanese mountains.
Yes, it's all full of Buddhists, right?
You know?
Yeah, and the only movement they get is when they take that funny wooden kind of rake and then pull it around. And yeah. As far as the hard-working karmis are concerned, Srimad Bhagavatam states, 11.10.23, Ishtveha devata yagyai svarlokam yati yagyika bunjita deva vat tatra bogan divyan nijar jitan. After performing various sacrificial rituals for elevation to the heavenly planets, the karmis go there and enjoy themselves with the demigods to the extent that they have obtained the results of pious activity. So how much piety you have, that much you can take part. You know, that you have that facility, you can go to those kind of programs or that. Like when they go to programs on the higher planets, only the most pious can go there. Like that. So wherever you are, you have enough piety to be there, then you'll be there. Anything happening there. But if it's above that, then you can't go. You know, like that. You know, it's just like at the game. There's the people sitting, you know, in the good seats. There's the ones in the back, and then there's the guy sitting in the box. You know, like that. You know, so like that. And so, you know, we're thinking, oh, it'll be so nice there and this and that. But they're just as jealous of each other up there. It's just that what the person who has the least piety has better than anyone here. But still, someone's got more than that. You know.
I think you can give any tennis people go and stay the same amount of time?
Not necessarily. Depends on what you've done. You know, did you do enough just to get yourself there? Or, you know how you say it was... You got the business class seats because they were on what do you call it?
Promotion.
Yeah, there was some promotion for 3 hours and you just happened to click and buy it, you know. But then there's the other guy who goes, wow, hey, great, you know, calls up, hey, you know, I'm thinking this and that, and then he goes back and then the thing's over, you know. So it's just there because you get, some go to Petri Loka, some go to the Swarga Loka. You know, Petri's connected with the moon. And that, you know, so that time is shorter. And then others go and they stay there for much longer, what facility they have. Or you become Indra, you become the presiding demigods. Because you have the general populace, then you'll have the presiding demigods, then you'll have Indra. So right there's three levels. Right? Yes.
And with the other are considered lesser.
Yeah, then you have those that are below, the Gandharva, Vidyadharas, Charana, like this, that they're in the Antariksha. You know, they're more powerful than humans, but not as much as they are.
What about Abrahamic faith? very pious Jew, very pious Muslim, very pious Christian.
It means there'll be a mixed element there because they're regulating their life, they're having that faith in God, but it's for the benefit of, you know, it's for sense gratification, so it'll be something within the realm of karma, within better facility. But at the same time, as their lifestyle is not necessarily ideal. So there'll be some reactions for that one, and then from the others, like King Riga, you know, they ask him, which do you want first? Good or bad? So they're going to get something for the good work, and they're going to get something for the bad work. But where that takes them, that I don't know. Chuttananda once said at least the followers of Jesus go to Jaraloka, but I haven't come across it. But yeah, they get some benefit. Anyone's pious, does some nice work, they're always going to get some benefit. Because you see here, there's people that are very wealthy, very well-positioned, these things like that. And so then, you know, there must be some good karma there. Why is it money comes so easy? Right? Other communities have more trouble. These ones have a little less trouble. They only have trouble with everybody else who doesn't have the piety to get the money. Like that. Yeah. In the Bhagavad Gita 9:20-21, the Lord Krishna states, Trividya mam soma pa puta pa pa. Yagyer ishtva svar gatim prartayante. Ye punyam asadya surendra lokam ashnanti divyan divi deva bogan te tam bhuktva svarga lokam vishalam shine punye martya lokam vishanti evam trai dharmam anu prapanna gata gatam kama kama labhante. Those who study the Vedas and drink soma juice, seeking the heavenly planets, worship me indirectly. Purified of sinful reactions, they take birth on the pious heavenly planet of Indra, where they enjoy godly delights. When they have thus enjoyed vast heavenly sense pleasure, and the results of their pious activities are exhausted, they return to this mortal planet again. Thus, those who seek sense enjoyment by adhering to the principles of the three Vedas achieve only repeated birth and death. Right? So this there's they're following everything, that they're following the rituals nicely and all that, and they know, you know, what's their idea, and they get that benefit, but then they'll be back again. They'll go there, be born there, when time is up, they'll leave there and then come here, be born here, and like this, they follow that cycle. If you're pious to some degree, you know, or unknowingly pious, you don't actually understand the technicalities, then you'll get some benefit, like you see people get. They get some nice facilities. You get somebody who, you know, has a good facility, you know, and good look, you know, of the pious things, good education and that, but they don't necessarily know how to use it. It's just somehow or another they happen to be, you know, like that. But then if they use it properly, it can continue some better situation, they use it improperly, then they lose it. Okay. Therefore, after finishing the results of pious activities, the karmis return to this planet in the form of rain, and they begin their life as grass and plants in the evolutionary process. So again, come down, start up again. So it's not a great idea, but people, there's so much desire, they don't consider all these things.
This is in connection with what Prabhu asked before, that why only bhakti is said that you never lose.
Yes.
Here, like, you enjoy everything and then again you
get to come back and start all over. Yeah, because the bhakti is that you don't lose in the bhakti, because performing that, then you take human birth again and continue where you left off. Right? Depending upon whether, you know, you're going from this life into another devotional situation, or going here to the heavenly planets, coming back to a religious situation, like that, then, you know, but it continues. But these others, yeah, then there's all these problems. 28258-264. Ramananda Rai continued, those who are devoid of all transcendental mellows are like the crows that suck the juice from the bitter fruits of the neem tree of knowledge. Whereas those who enjoy mellows are like the cuckoos who eat the buds of the mango tree of love of Godhead. Ramananda Rai concluded, the unfortunate empiric philosophers taste the dry process of philosophical knowledge, whereas the devotees regularly drink the nectar of love of Krishna. Therefore, they are the most fortunate of all. In this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai passed the whole night relishing the mellows of Krishna Katha, topics about Krishna. Notice they go up, try to find, you know, finding what's that point, the topmost point, discussing that, then coming back from that, discussing there, then all the other things, you know, what else, you know, how do you define everything? Because if you want to get there, then how do you define everything? You know, what's the best activity? What's the best goal? What's the best situation? You know, who, like this. And like this, then they discuss, go back and forth. In this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai passed the whole night relishing the mellows of Krishna Katha, topics about Krishna. While they were chanting, dancing, and crying, the night ended. The next morning, they both departed to perform their respective duties. But in the evening, Ramananda Rai returned to meet the Lord again. Remember, he had asked him, please stay 10 days or more. Like that. That evening, after discussing the topics of Krishna for some time, Ramananda Rai caught hold of the lotus feet of the Lord and spoke as follows. There is a variety of transcendental truths. The truth about Krishna, Krishna Tattva. The truth about Radharani, Radha Tattva. The truth about their loving affairs, Prema Tattva Sara. The truth about transcendental humors, Rasa Tattva. And the truth about the Lord's pastimes, Leela Tattva. You have manifest all these transcendental truths in my heart. This is exactly the way Narayana educated Lord Brahma. Srila Prabhupada. The heart of Brahma was enlightened by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is Vedic information given in the Svetasvatara Upanishad 6.8. Yo Brahmanam vidatati purvam, yo vai vedams cha prahirnoti tasmai, tamha deva atma buddhi prakasham, mumukshur vai sharanam aham prapadye. Because I desire liberation, let me surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who first enlightened Lord Brahma in Vedic knowledge through Lord Brahma's heart. The Lord is the original source of all enlightenment and spiritual advancement. In this connection, one may also refer to Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.30-35, 11.14.3, 12.4.40, and 12.13.19. Ramananda Rai continued, the super soul within everyone's heart speaks not externally, but from within. He instructs the devotees in all respects, and that is his way of instruction. Srila Prabhupada. Here, Sri Ramananda Rai admits that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the super soul. It is the super soul that inspires the devotee. Therefore, he is the original source of the Gayatri Mantra, which states, okay, Savita is the original source of all intelligence. That Savita is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.4.22. Prachodita yena purash sarasvati vitan vata jasya satim smritim hridi swalakshana pra dura bhut kilasyata same rishinam rishabha prasidatam. May the Lord, who, in the beginning of the creation, amplified the potent knowledge of Brahma from within his heart, and inspired him with full knowledge of creation and his own self, and who has appeared to be generated from the mouth of Brahma, be pleased with me. This was spoken by Sukadeva Goswami when he invoked the blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead before delivering Srimad Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit. Ramananda Rai continued, O my Lord, Sri Krishna, son of Vasudeva, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna because he is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes of the creation, sustenance and destruction of the manifested universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and he is independent because there is no cause beyond him. It is he only who first imparted Vedic knowledge into the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory presentations of water seen in fire, or land seen on water. Only because of him do the material universes, temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature, appear factual, although they are unreal. I therefore meditate upon him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth. Footnote 33. This is the opening invocation of Srimad Bhagavatam 111. Ramananda Rai then said that he had one doubt within his heart, and he petitioned the Lord, Please be merciful upon me and just remove my doubt. Ramananda Rai then told Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, At first I saw you appear like a sannyasi, but now I am seeing you as Shyamasundara, the cowherd boy. I now see you appearing like a golden doll, and your entire body appears covered by a golden luster. I see that you are holding a flute to your mouth, and your lotus eyes are moving very restlessly due to various ecstasies. I actually see you in this way, and this is very wonderful. My Lord, please tell me without duplicity, what is causing this? Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, You have a deep love for Krishna, and one who has such deep ecstatic love for the Lord naturally sees things in such a way. Please take this from me to be certain. The devotee advanced on the spiritual platform sees everything movable and inert as the Supreme Lord. For him, everything he sees here and there is but a manifestation of Lord Krishna. The Mahabhagavat, the advanced devotee, certainly sees everything mobile and immobile, but he does not exactly see their forms. Rather, everywhere he immediately sees manifest the form of the Supreme Lord. Right? That's what we were discussing before, is that they see the world, but they just see it all in connection with Krishna. So that's a special thing. So it's not that they can't work here, because they can see the forms they're working with, but they see Krishna. Because it's him. It's all him. There's nothing that's not him. Right? But the point is, it's not him meaning him the person. It's all him as the impersonal. Because right? Otherwise it's thought, if everything's him, then it becomes impersonal. No, it's the person who, it's his energies that come and transform. Srila Prabhupada. Due to his deep ecstatic love for Krishna, the Mahabhagavat sees Krishna everywhere and nothing else. This is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita 5.38. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. As soon as a devotee sees something, be it movable or inert, he immediately remembers Krishna. An advanced devotee is advanced in knowledge. This knowledge is very natural to a devotee, for he has already read in the Bhagavad Gita how to awaken Krishna consciousness. According to Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita 7.8, Rasoham apsukonteya prabhasmi shasi surayoho paranavas sarva vedeshu shabda ke paurusham mrishu. O son of Kunti, Arjuna, I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon. The syllable Om in the Vedic mantras, I am the sound in ether and ability in man. Thus, when a devotee drinks water or any other liquid, he immediately remembers Krishna. For a devotee, there is no difficulty in awakening Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day. A saintly person, an advanced devotee, sees Krishna 24 hours a day and nothing else. As far as movable and inert things are concerned, a devotee sees them all as transformations as Krishna's energy. So he sees Krishna and all this is his transformation of energies. As Lord Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita 7.4, Bhumir apo nalo vayu kam mano buddhir eva cha ahankar iti yamme bhinna prakritir ashtada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, altogether these eight constitute my separated material energies. Actually, nothing is separate from Krishna. When a devotee sees a tree, he knows that the tree is a combination of two energies, material and spiritual. The inferior energy, which is material, forms the body of the tree. However, within the tree is the living entity, the spiritual spark, which is part and parcel of Krishna. This is the superior energy of Krishna within this world. Whatever living entity we see is simply a combination of these two energies. When an advanced devotee thinks of these energies, he immediately understands that they are manifestations of the Supreme Lord. As soon as we see the sun rise in the morning, we arise and set about doing our morning duties. Similarly, as soon as a devotee sees the energy of the Lord, he immediately remembers Lord Sri Krishna, right? Because that's the duty. He's absorbed in Krishna. This is others perform their duties of what's valuable. They perform theirs of remembering Krishna. This is explained in the verse, Sarvatra Hai Nija Ishta Deva Spurti. A devotee who has purified his existence. Oh, this is Bhagavatam?
This verse is, okay.
A devotee who has purified his existence through devotional service sees only Krishna in every step of life. This is also explained in the next verse, which is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11.2.45. 2.8.2.75.2.76. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, a person advanced in devotional service sees within everything the soul of souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Consequently, he always sees the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the cause of all causes and understands that all things are situated in him. Oh, that's quoting, Lord Chaitanya is quoting the Bhagavatam. The plants, creepers, and trees were full of fruits and flowers due to ecstatic love of Krishna. Indeed, being so full, they were bowing down. They were inspired by such deep love for Krishna that they were constantly pouring showers of honey. In this way, the gopis saw all the forests of Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada. This verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.35.9, is one of the songs of the gopis sang during Krishna's absence. In Krishna's absence, the gopis were always absorbed in thought of him. Similarly, the Mahabhagavat, the advanced devotee, sees everything as potentially serving the Lord. Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.126 states, Parapanchi kataya bhujya hari sambandhi vastuna mumukshubhi parityago vairagyam falgu kataye. The advanced devotee does not see anything as unconnected with Krishna. Unlike the Mayavadi philosophers, devotee does not see the material world as false, because he knows that everything in the material world is connected to Krishna. Devotee knows how to utilize everything in the service of the Lord, and this is characteristic of the Mahabhagavata. The gopis saw the plants, creepers, and forest trees loaded with fruits and flowers and ready to serve Krishna. In this way, they immediately remembered their worshipable Lord Sri Krishna. They did not simply see plants, creepers, and trees the way a mundaner sees them. So they see that and then its connection to Krishna. Everyone's a Mahabharata, yes, like that. And then they become, and then they develop within that. Yeah. point is they're all Mahabhagavats, then it's just a matter of coming to the platform of prema, right? And then once on the platform of prema, then everyone's there. So, yeah. Yes, it's just means that's the platform from which then you can begin to take part very nicely in the Lord's pastimes. Because less than that, how would you take part? You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you know, they ask you, okay, hey, do this service and all that. You start to do it, and they're, oh, I forgot, I got to take my kid to the dentist. You know, it's like, you know, so then how's that going to work? It has to be fully committed, right? Yeah. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "My dear Raya, you are an advanced devotee and are always filled with ecstatic love for Radha and Krishna. Therefore, whatever you see, anywhere and everywhere, simply awakens your Krishna consciousness." Ramananda Rai replied, "My dear Lord, please give up all these serious talks. Please do not conceal your real form from me." Right? Because he's explaining what he's seeing from the platform of this is the way Mahabhagavat see. So he was giving scripture and everything, and it's correct. But at the same time, Ramananda Rai is saying, hey, hey, no tricks here. You know? Ramananda Rai continued, "My dear Lord, I can understand that you have assumed the ecstasy and bodily complexion of Srimati Radharani. By accepting this, you are tasting your own personal transcendental humor and have therefore appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. My dear Lord, you have descended in this incarnation of Lord Chaitanya for your own personal reasons. You have come to taste your own spiritual bliss. But at the same time, you are transforming the whole world by spreading the ecstasy of love of Godhead. My dear Lord, by your causeless mercy, you have appeared before me to grant me liberation. Now you are playing in a duplicitous way. What is the reason for this behavior?" Lord Sri Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure, and Srimati Radharani is the personification of ecstatic love of Godhead. These two forms had combined as one as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus being the case, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his real form to Ramananda Rai. Srila Prabhupada, this is described as Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Naomi Krishna Sarupa. Lord Sri Krishna was absorbed in the features of Srimati Radharani. This was disclosed to Ramananda Roy when he saw Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. An advanced devotee can understand Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahe Anya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being a combination of Krishna and Radha, is non-different from Radha Krishna combined. This is explained by Srirupa Damodara Goswami, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila 1.5. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Ladini Shaktir Asmad Ekat Manav Vapi Bhuvi Pura Deha Bedam Gatau Tau Chaitanyakyam Prakatam Adhuna Tad Dvayam Chaikyam Aptam Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Naomi Krishna Sarupam. Radha Krishna is one. Radha Krishna is Krishna and Krishna's pleasure potency combined. When Krishna exhibits his pleasure potency, he appears to be two, Radha and Krishna. Otherwise, Radha and Krishna are one. This oneness may be perceived by advanced devotees through the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the case with Ramananda Rai. One may aspire to attain such a position, but one should not try to imitate the Mahabhagavat. One, you can aspire, but you don't imitate. You know, this is not like, what do you call it? You have channeling, and what's that other one? Or are you, it's very popular in the South amongst the Baptists and that. Giving witness, I think it's called. Yeah, so you don't need to do that stuff. No? Upon seeing this form, Ramananda Roy lost consciousness in transcendental bliss. Unable to remain standing, he fell to the ground. When Ramananda Roy fell to the ground unconscious, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touched his hand, and he immediately regained consciousness. But when he saw Lord Chaitanya in the dress of a sannyasi, he was struck with wonder. After embracing Ramananda Roy, the Lord pacified him, informing him, "But for you, no one has ever seen this form." Srila Prabhupada. In the Bhagavad Gita 7.25, Lord Krishna states, Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrita mudho yam nabi janati loko yam ajam avyayam. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my internal potency, yoga maya. And so they do not know me, who am unborn and infallible. The Lord always reserves the right of not being exposed to everyone. The devotees, however, are always engaged in the service of the Lord, serving with the tongue by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and tasting Mahaprasadam. Gradually, the sincere devotee pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Supreme Lord reveals himself. One cannot see the Supreme Lord by making personal efforts. Rather, when the Lord is pleased by the service of a devotee, he reveals himself. So there's nothing you can do that you'll get the Lord to reveal himself. You can act in such a way to please the Lord, and then he'll reveal himself. 286, 291. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirmed, "All the truths about my pastimes and mellows are within your knowledge." Therefore, I have shown this form to you. Actually, my body does not have a fair complexion. It only appears so because it has touched the body of Srimati Radharani. However, she does not touch anyone but the son of Nanda Maharaj. I have now covered my body and mind with the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani. Thus I am tasting my own personal sweetness in that form. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then admitted to his pure devotee, Ramananda Rai, "Now there is no confidential activity unknown to you. Even though I try to conceal my activities, you can understand everything in detail by virtue of your advanced love for me." Right? So that's why before he's saying all these things that are, yeah, that's how the Mahabhagavats see. But then Ramananda Rai said, "No, don't try to, you know, distract the conversation here, right? You know." The Lord then requested Ramananda Rai, "Keep all these talks a secret. Please do not expose them anywhere and everywhere. Since my activities appear to be like those of a madman, people may take them lightly and laugh." Right? And we saw before, then that's aparasa. Right? Because they don't have a relationship with the Lord. They have that, they're seeing in an inappropriate way, and so then they're laughing. Then it becomes inappropriate. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, "Indeed, I am a madman, and you are also a madman. Therefore, we are on the same platform." Srila Prabhupada. All these conversations between Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appear ludicrous to a common man who is not a devotee. The entire world is filled with material conceptions, and people are unable to understand these conversations due to the conditioning of mundane philosophy. Those who are overly attached to mundane activities cannot understand the ecstatic conversations between Ramananda Rai and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Consequently, the Lord requested that Ramananda Rai keep all of these conversations secret and not expose them to the general populace. If one is actually advanced in Krishna consciousness, he can understand these confidential talks. Otherwise, they appear crazy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore informed Ramananda Rai that they both appeared like madmen and were therefore on the same platform. It is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 2.69. Yanisha sarva bhutanam tasyam jagarti samyami. Yasyam jagrati bhutani sa nisha pasyato munehi. What is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled, and the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage. Sometimes Krishna consciousness appears like a type of madness to mundane people, just as the activities of mundaners are considered a form of madness by Krishna conscious men. Right? Because they're night and day. Yes.
This verse 2.69 is quoted to explain this high level of ecstasy. So Bhagavad Gita verses the conclusions we understand. Oh.
Yes, yes. So he's pointing out that this is also used when they're giving this conclusion here. So he's quoting through here all Gita shlokas, but these are where, to the extent that point goes. Gita is giving it in its basic form so you can start to understand. But each point expands through Bhagavatam, Chaitanya, Charitamrita. It's the same point. It's just on higher and higher, deeper, deeper levels. So it's not, oh, we leave Gita. No, it's the same points. You know, it's just like you have some ingredients. Someone cooks a simple preparation with it. Someone else can cook something very elaborate with the same ingredients. But it's not the elaborate preparations. They don't use basic ingredients. Mm-hmm. 2.8.2.9.2.2.9.4. For 10 nights, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai spent a happy time discussing the pastimes of Krishna. The conversations between Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu contain the most confidential subject matters, touching the conjugal love between Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, Rajabhumi. Although they talked at great length about these pastimes, they could not reach the limit of discussion. Right? Because it's unlimited. Right? Actually, these conversations are like a great mine where, from a single place, one can extract all kinds of metals, copper, bell metal, silver, gold, and also touchstone, the basis of all metals. So from one place you can get everything. You can get all the nice things, and you can get the origin, what is the cause of all those different metals. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the following summary of the conversations between Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ramananda Rai replied to 5 questions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and these questions and their replies are recorded in verses 57 to 67. The first answer is compared to copper, the second to a better metal, bell metal, the third to a still better metal, silver, and the fourth to the best metal of all, gold. But the fifth answer is compared to the most valuable gem, touchstone, because it deals with unalloyed devotion, the ultimate goal of devotional life, and illuminates the preceding 4 subordinate answers. Excuse me. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur points out that in Brajabhumi, there is the Jamuna River with its sandy banks. There are kadamba trees, cows, Krishna's sticks with which he herds cows, and Krishna's flute. All of these belong to Shantarasa, the mellow of neutrality in devotional service. There are also the direct servants of Krishna, such as Chitraka, Pataraka, and Raktaka, and these are the embodiments of service and the mellow of servitude. There are also friends like Sridhama and Sudhama, who embody service in fraternity. Nanda Maharaj and Mother Jashoda are the embodiments of parental love. Above all these are Srimati Radharani and her assistants, the gopis, Lalita, Vishakha, and others, who embody conjugal love. In this way, all 5 mellows, Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya, exist eternally in Brajabhumi. They are also compared respectively to copper, bell metal, silver, gold, and touchstone, the basis of all metals. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami therefore refers to a mind eternally existing in Vrindavan, Brajabhumi, because from that all the taste of the rasa, all these rasas are always being, you know, expanded. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 2.8.2.95-300. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai worked like miners, excavating all kinds of valuable metals, each one better than the other. Their questions and answers are exactly like that. The next day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begged Ramananda Rai to give him permission to leave. And at the time of farewell, the Lord gave him the following orders. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, give up all material engagements and come to Jagannath Puri. I will return there very soon after finishing my tour and pilgrimage. The two of us shall remain together at Jagannath Puri and happily pass our time discussing Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then embraced Sri Ramananda Rai, and after sending him back to his home, the Lord took rest. After rising for bed the next morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the local temple, where there was a deity of Hanuman. After offering him obeisances, the Lord departed for South India. Srila Prabhupada, in almost all the cities and towns of India, there are temples of Hanumanji, the eternal servant of Lord Ramachandra. There is even a temple of Hanuman near Govindaji temple in Vrindavan. Formerly, this temple was in front of the Gopalaji temple, but the Gopalaji deity went to Orissa to remain as Sakshi Gopal. Being the eternal servant of Lord Ramachandra, Hanumanji has been respectfully worshipped for many hundreds and thousands of years. Here, even Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set the example in showing how one should offer respects to Hanumanji. 28301-310. All the residents of Vidyanagar were of different faiths, but after seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they abandoned their own faiths and became Vaishnavas. When Ramananda Rai began to feel separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was overwhelmed. Meditating on the Lord, he gave up all his material business. I have briefly described the meeting between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. No one can actually describe this meeting exhaustively. It is even impossible for Lord Sesha Naga, who has thousands of hoods. The activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are like condensed milk, and the activities of Ramananda Rai are like large quantities of sugar candy. Their meeting is exactly like a mixture of condensed milk and sugar candy. Right? Because condensed milk, you're taking milk and cooking it down, so you're getting the essence, that milk in it. And then of sugar, then sugar candy is the essence. Like that. Because that's then its most pure state, its most refined, subtle state. So when you mix those two together, then it becomes very nice. When they talk of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, camphor is added. Right? One who tastes this combined preparation is most fortunate. This wonderful preparation has to be taken orally. If one takes it, he becomes greedy to relish it even further. By hearing the talks between Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one becomes enlightened with the transcendental knowledge of the mellows of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. Thus, one can develop unalloyed love for the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. The author requests every reader to hear these talks with faith and without argument. By studying them in this way, one will be able to understand the confidential truth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This part of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime is most confidential. One can derive benefit quickly only by faith. Otherwise, by arguing, one will always remain far away. So this is not a matter of intellectual understanding. It's a matter of the faith. The Lord Chaitanya is saying this, his great devotee, and so this is the way it is. Right? He who has accepted as everything the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and Advaita Prabhu, can attain this transcendental treasure. Yes, that's there. But the point is, as he's giving here, is that, and the key to that is accepting everything as the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda, and Dvaita. When you accept them as all in all, then you can appreciate all these things. Then everything's revealed. So that's the working principle. Because otherwise some will say, we'll just read this chapter and then we'll... No, it's by having faith in the Lord Chaitanya and the Panchatattva that's how then you'll appreciate. Because it says you have to be free of all material desire. Otherwise how that you gain when Lord Chaitanya is pleased, Nityananda Prabhu becomes pleased, then you become freed from all material desire. Right? By the blessings of Advaita Acharya, then you know, then, how you say, one sees one's existence as servant of the Lord. One gives up all other identities. So when you have the identity, I'm serving the Lord, you give up material endeavor like that, then you can appreciate. Yes, that I know. I wasn't again. Okay. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that Krishna is obtainable for the faithful, but for those who are accustomed to argue, Krishna is far, far away. Similarly, these talks between Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can be understood by a person who has firm faith. Those who are not in the specific succession, the Asauta Pantis, cannot have faith in these talks. They are always doubting and engaging in mental concoctions. These talks cannot be understood by such whimsical people. Right? Because when there's firm faith, then there's focus. When there's not, then it's whimsical. Transcendental topics remain far, far away from those engaged in mundane arguments. In this regard, the Vedic mantras in the Katha Upanishad 1-9 state, Naisha Tarkena Matir Apaneya Prokta Proktan Yenaiva Su Jnanaya Preshta. According to the Mundaka Upanishad 3-2-3, Nayam Atma Pravachanena Labhyo Na Medhaya Na Bahuna Shrutena Yam Evaisha Vrinute Tena Labhyas Tasyaisha Atma Vrinute Tanum Svam. And according to Brahma Sutra 2.1.11, Tarka Pratishthanat. All Vedic literatures declare that transcendental subjects cannot be understood simply by argument or logic. Spiritual masters are far above experimental knowledge. Only by Krishna's mercy can one who is interested in his transcendental loving affairs understand them. If one tries to understand these transcendental topics simply by using one's material brain, substance, the attempt will be futile. Whether one is a Prakriti Sahajya or a mundane opportunist or scholar, one's labor to understand these topics by mundane means will ultimately be frustrated. One therefore has to give up all mundane attempts and try to become a pure devotee of Lord Vishnu. When a devotee follows the regulative principles, the truth of these talks will be revealed to him. This is confirmed in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Atashri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grahyam Indriyahi Sevan Mukhehi Jihwadao Swayam Eva Spuratyada. One cannot understand the Lord's holy name, pastimes, form, qualities, or entourage with one's blunt material senses. However, when the senses are purified by the constant rendering of service, the spiritual truth of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna are revealed. As confirmed in the Mundaka Upanishad, Yam Evaisha Vrinute Tena Labhyas. Only one who is favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead can understand the transcendental features of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yes, yes. And you see, they're quoting so much here from Gita, from the Upanishads, to establish these points. So they're all based back to there. So it's not that, oh, these things are beyond and all that. No, they're the source of all things. So they're naturally, you can very nicely give the background to them.
It's interesting that this conversation started with the basic knowledge.
Yes.
Then back down to the basic knowledge again.
Yes, but the difference is the basic knowledge when it comes to that other part, then there, it's how Krishna is the center of everything, right? So it's always the descending. It's the simplicity of how the pure devotees see everything. While the first one was how one could elevate oneself, And so there might not be that position in the beginning, right? And so then with time it gets up to the point of the pure devotee. And the pure, it's not that the pure devotee, those other levels described, may be situated. That may be how they're situated to perform their service. But they see things according to that latter stage. Right? And because and so because they're always absorbed in the Lord, then they're able to appreciate this conversation. Right? Because it requires firm faith. Right? Because if the faith is distracted by other things, then this is not going to be that important to you. So you're not going to focus. But there's firm faith, then these things will mean something, and then that taste will be there. Right? Otherwise, these other things are either giving a taste or a hope of a taste. You know? To 3:12. I offer 10 million obeisances unto the lotus feet of Sri Ramananda Rai, because from his mouth such spiritual information has been expanded by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I have tried to preach the pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's meeting with Ramananda Rai in accordance with the notebooks of Sri Swarup Damodar. Right? So through Ramananda, then he exposed all these. So he sees all these different things come down through these different personalities, right? They reveal all these different things. So Lord Chaitanya is revealing it all. So either himself reveals or through the devotee reveals. But in any case, even if he reveals, then it's what that devotee gives to us is what we follow.
So Ramananda revealed that conversation to Swarupadamodara.
Must be. Yes. Yeah. Because they would be, you know.
20 years together.
Huh?
20 years together.
They're hanging out for 20 years. Yeah. And also, Lord Chaitanya, this is the beginning of his tour.
Yeah.
And so he would have been on this tour for some time before he came back. And so it says he gave up. It doesn't give a time frame, but at some point he would have been. He would be in Puri before Lord Chaitanya arrives.
Yes.
Right? And so then they would have these, they might have these discussions.
I was thinking about Krishna Das got a few nights off.
Got a few nights off.
Yeah, I mean, while Lord Chaitanya was coming down with Ramananda Rai, he probably got Krishna Das go and take rest and busy tonight. Because Krishna Das was traveling with him.
He's
servant Krishna. Oh, servant Krishna. Oh, he would have been back and gone to sleep for the night, and then Lord Chaitanya would have gone out.
Maybe that's when he started hanging out with Baba Ali.
That is much later.
He said that's much later.
Then he went to Kerala. This is
I was just going to say. That didn't happen in our state. No, no. He went farther down. Yeah, that's all those tantric guys down there. Yeah, okay.
But this is also not our state, Maharaj. Anymore.
Huh? Not anymore. Okay. What to do? Srila Prabhupada. At the end of every chapter, the author admits the value of the disciplic succession. He never claims to have written this transcendental literature by carrying out research work. He simply admits his indebtedness to the notes taken by Swarup Damodar, right? So, because when people do research, then they take it that it's their work. But here he's pointing out, that's why Prabhupada says, we don't care about research. Because the problem with research, then you think, I did the work, it's mine. But here, this is the proper thing, is that what notes you've gotten from other people, you're giving that credit there. You're just presenting it so that people can appreciate it. Like that. So it's a very different approach. You know, the Vedic scholasticism and the modern. Right? Or let's say the Vaishnav scholasticism. Even the Vedic, they try to sometimes be a little too proud.
I think the epic of plagiarism is only
when you claim it's yours.
Well, in other words, it's the same text every time.
Yes. Yes, but because it's in a descending process, then you can't call it plagiarism. Like that. You can't call it that. I mean, it sounds good because when you're working within the academic, intellectual kind of field, they like playing with sacrilege and like this, and it inspires them. Oh, this isn't this the ultimate of that? But we, as we saw before, it's rasa bas. It gives a distasteful thing. Why would you say plagiarism when Prabhupada exactly here is saying it's not that? Why would they say that? Yes, but I'm saying the academic circles, then they'll go, oh wow, yeah, you know, I think it's something to think. It catches their attention because it's different. Because generally, you know, you're presenting here the plagiar as a very good thing, but it's generally it's a bad thing. And, oh wow, okay, some new presentation, some new, and so they'll do like that. Like it said, in some circles that certain things that are mentioned as rasa bas, in some circles they think, oh, this is very nice. You know, but in other circles they'll say, no, it's not nice. So from that presentation, for that academic mentality, that inductive, then they'll go, oh wow, okay, what's going on here? And then when you explain it, then they'll see it's not. But you still have to be careful. Like that, they say, just like, yeah. How you say, what's his name? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. You know, and that word Muktipad. You know, it doesn't want to get close to that. You know, no, we're not going there.
Maharaj, it seems that in all this conversation, Sakyamuni Prabhu is a devotee, always maintains the quality of humility, simplicity, and always giving credit to others.
Yes. I mean, that's the thing, they're poetic. That's the aspect of Vaishnava, is poetic, and it's always there. Because what is always just coming in the line, the point is it's coming from Krishna. As he said, it's Lord Chaitanya's position. And then it's revealed to others, and others then quote that, and then it comes down, and that's always given. So there's always that aspect, you know. But the point is it's you're seeing the central core of it. So in the modern academic aspect, then they'll do a big bibliography, you know, to show that, you know, where they've taken from, so everybody gets their credit. But they're not seeing the essence, the core of what they're dealing with. While here, then that appreciation of that, the principles that are being given by the parampara, that's seen in its clarity. Does that make sense? Yes.
Also, there is this aspect that, as we saw in Natya Shastra, the goal is for the audience to taste the rasa. And for everything also, the goal is for the hearer to come to the same state. So
yes,
nobody puts themselves in between that.
Yes.
So that's
yes.
Why it's purely moving. But when it becomes like it's about them, then they have...
Yeah, then it becomes a problem. Yeah? No? You didn't hear?
Yeah, I heard.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's just... Yeah. The point is that whoever you're speaking to, that they can appreciate what's going on. He simply admits his indebtedness to the notes given by Srup Damodar, Raghunath Das Goswami, and other authoritative persons. In this way, the writing of transcendental literatures, which are never meant for so-called scholars and research workers. The process is maha jano yena kata sapantaha. One has to strictly follow great personalities and acharyas. Acharya van purusho veda. One who has the favor of the acharya knows everything. This statement made by Krishnas Kaviraj is very valuable for all pure devotees. Sometimes the Prakriti Sahajiyas claim that they have heard the truth from their guru. But one cannot have transcendental knowledge simply by hearing from a guru who is not bona fide. The guru must be bona fide, and he must have heard from his own bona fide guru. Only then will this message be accepted as bona fide. Lord Krishna confirms this in the Bhagavad Gita 4.1. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Imam vivasvate yogam proktavan aham avyayam. Vivasvan manave praha manur ikshvakave pravita. The Supreme Lord said, I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god, Vivasvan, and Vivasvan instructed it to Manu, the father of mankind. And Manu in turn instructed it to Ikshvaku. In this way the message is transmitted in the bona fide spiritual disciplic succession from bona fide spiritual master to bona fide student. Srila Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami, therefore, as usual, concludes this chapter by reasserting his faith in the lotus feet of the six Goswamis. Thus he is able to set forth this transcendental literature, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. 2.8.3.13. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishnadas, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Conclusion. The goal of life cannot be achieved unless one practices the process. Text 197. Devotional service is naturally very dear to the living entity. Indeed, it is life's goal. This devotional service is supreme knowledge or Krishna consciousness, and it brings detachment from all material activity. In the transcendental position, a living entity, a living being, can perfectly acknowledge the superiority of serving the Lord. The devotees attain the Supreme Lord only by devotional service. Having such knowledge, one engages in his occupational duty, and that is called bhakti yoga. By performing bhakti yoga, one can rise to the platform of pure devotional service. 8.57 purport. Every man should perform his occupational duty in the light of his particular tendency. According to his abilities, one should accept a position in the Varnashram institution. 8.58 purport. In all, there are 64 items listed for the rendering of service unto Krishna, and these are the regulative principles enjoined in the Shastras and given by the spiritual master. One has to serve Krishna according to these regulative principles. But if one develops spontaneous love for Krishna, as exhibited in the activities of those who live in Vrajabhumi, one attains the platform of Raghunuga Bhakti. One who has developed this spontaneous love is eligible for elevation to the platform enjoyed by the inhabitants of Vrajabhumi. In Vrajabhumi, there are no regulative principles set forth for Krishna's service. Rather, everything is carried out in spontaneous natural love for Krishna. Notice he always uses spontaneous, he never uses whimsical. Whimsical he makes for that those who doesn't have this faith and who are speculative. No doubt. Interesting. Sometimes after the rains, you have this very far out light, like this. It tends to be kind of a golden and like that, very far out. There's no question of following the principles of the Vedic system. Such principles are followed within this material world. And as long as one is on the material platform, he has to execute them. No question of following or not following. Or meaning that spontaneous, there's no question of following. Such principles of following is that's connected with the previous, about the spontaneous. Yeah, okay. 8.2.2.1 purport. The regulative principles according to the injunction of the Shastras are necessary insofar as one's original dormant Krishna consciousness is not spontaneously awakened. An example of spontaneous action is the flowing of rivers into the ocean. Nothing can stop this flow of water. Similarly, when one's dormant Krishna consciousness is awakened, it spontaneously flows to the lotus feet of Krishna without impediment. 8.70 purport. Right, so that you have yama and niyama, so you have those things that are going to be favorable so that you'll be engaged in service, and those things that you give up because you won't be engaged in service. But if you have that spontaneous love for Krishna, you're just engaged in service, so you don't require the rules and regulations to regulate your service, because you will be engaged. They're there to see that you're engaged in service. Right? So makes sense. So it means you won't do something outside of the service. You'll always just stay on that. So the point is like the rules keep you on the razor's edge. But if you're on spontaneous devotional service, you'll never leave the razor's edge. Okay. that. Yeah?
It's constant.
It's constant. Yeah, that's why I said before, firm faith. Okay. Otherwise, faith is not so strong, then it could be distracted by other things. As long as one is in the material world, he must follow the principles of Varnashram Dharma. But devotional service is transcendental. The system of Varnashram Dharma refers to the three modes of material nature. But the transcendental devotional service is on the absolute platform, 860. Yeah. So one's following because the conditioned nature has that. And one has to follow that because that will keep you in the proper and the mode of goodness, so then from there you can easily enough be engaged in pure goodness. Right? Like that. But devotional service is transcendental. It's not actually controlled by these. It's we're identifying with the material energy, so therefore we want to keep whatever's the best, you know, the best situation in which that identity will be properly used in Krishna's service. If one executes the occupational duties of Varnashram Dharma but does not cultivate his dormant Krishna consciousness, his activities are futile. His occupation simply becomes unnecessary labor. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.8. Right? So you're performing your duties, but it has to be in connection with Krishna. Either you're cultivating that relationship with Krishna or you're situated in that relationship with Krishna. In either way, one has to be absorbed in Krishna. But if one's just doing the duties and doesn't become Krishna conscious, what's the point? In the conditioned stage, one should not even try to remember such things. By practicing the regulative principles, one should rise to the platform of spontaneous attraction to Krishna. Then and only then should one hear about Radha Krishna Lila. Although these affairs may be very pleasing both to conditioned and to liberated souls, the conditioned souls should not try to hear them. The talks between Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are conducted on the platform of liberation. 8.225 purport. So it's not something that we go out of our way for. It comes up. We're reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. These come up. We're reading, you know, Bhagavatam, Krishna book. They come up. But we don't specifically just target those unless we are freed from the material entanglement. Chapter 9. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's travels to the holy places. Which way? Oh. Huh. Well, that was fun. Okay. Pratigya. One must accept the principle of standard knowledge because one cannot attain the absolute truth simply by intellectual speculation. Right? You have to take the principle of the standard knowledge. Some principle is there, so many principles, you have to take the principle, and then from that you can do something. Adhyaya Prakashika. A summary of the ninth chapter is given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. After leaving Vidyanagar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited such places of pilgrimage as Gautami Ganga, Mali Karjuna, Ahovala Nishinga, Siddhavata, Skandakshetra, Trimata, Vridhakashi, Baudastana, Tirupati, Tirumala, Pana Nishinga, Shiva Kanchi, Vishnu Kanchi, Trikala Hasti, Vridhakola, Siali Bhairavi, the Kaveri River, and Kumbhakarna Kapala. So, and here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.